Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 27. And I know I gave you homework last week of 2 Kings chapter 22, and I want to share just a second about what happened in this week. I had been led maybe a couple weeks ago to do a message on what happens when a person is gripped with the scriptures, and this week to focus on what happens when a nation had not only lost its way, but then had rediscovered the word and then began to implement living out the word even as a nation, and that focus was on 2 Kings 22. Well, I had this message written, and I will do it, but it's going to be at a later date, because I do feel like it's very important, especially in light of what's going on in our nation. I think there needs to be a call for us as a church, as a local church, to be about revival and what it means for us to be awakened to what God wants to do in our nation. This week, just in my own personal time and as I was praying for families, and then even on Wednesday night, I was led to pray Psalm 27 for the Roman family. And I couldn't get it out of my heart, and I kind of wondered, okay, Lord, which way do you want me to go? And it was, I was spending some time in Psalm 27, and it was still a debate up until last night. Sierra and I were on this fun daddy-daughter date where we spent some time at Starbucks and got to hang out with Joe Ellen, and then we went to Salvation Army, where we like to go buy clothes and get really good buys on name-brand clothes, you know. And what's funny is that neither one of us walked out of Salvation Army purchasing anything. But I was in this one aisle, and I was looking for some things, and they've got a wonderful playlist of contemporary Christian music and gospel music, and I stopped where I was at, and I was listening to this one song. And it's a song that I'll play for you at the end of this morning's message. But after I heard it, I knew exactly the message that I needed to preach this morning, and it was out of Psalm 27. I was just so gripped, even after the last song that we sang together as a faith family. It's just wonderful to be in the presence of the King. I'll just say that being in the presence of the King is really the only thing that matters. And over the years, not only walking through my own dark times, but also walking through those times with you at different points, being through what families are going through this week, we need a message of hope. And it's not a hope that comes from a change of circumstances, though we do praise God when we see a change of circumstances and when we see, in a sense, answers to our prayers like we want answers to our prayers, but really what it comes down to is really the most important thing, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. There can be dark times in our lives. There can be times when we're really confused. There can be times when we're depressed, when we're feeling a sense of anxiety, when we're actually facing death, when we're facing the valley of the shadow of death. And it's easy to turn to something else, and it's also easy to turn to someone else. Being in the presence, though, of the King is really the only thing that matters, and it has everything to do with who he is. So let's look at Psalm 27 together, and just right from the first verse, I want you to notice who he is, who our King is. Verse 1 saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" See, so many times when the most often quoted command in Scripture is given, it's usually given tied to a promise. I am with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I mean, how many of you, when you were growing up, and I don't know, maybe you still are, but, you know, being afraid of the dark, and you'd call out in the middle of the night, and mom or dad would come to your door, and then things got better, right? the one who is present with you is greater than the fear that came upon you at that moment. And friends, the king that we have with us is greater than the fear that overcomes us. I don't have to be afraid of anything when the king is present with me. Just look at who he is. The scripture here calls him our light. Darkness flees in his presence. Do you remember what John said at the beginning of his gospel? In John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, will never overcome it." What does David testify in an earlier song? He says, "Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me." You see, it would comfort sheep to know their shepherd has those two pieces of wood in hand. And it ought to comfort us to know our shepherd took hold of those two pieces of wood to win our victory over sin and death. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15 says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death," that is, the devil, "and free those who all their lives were held in slavery, not just to death, but," he says, "to their fear of death." He's my light. This king is my savior, my rescuer. He's my stronghold when the enemy attacks. And I can give you this promise, not just from personal experience, but it's in our word, we will be attacked. And he says in this next verse, "When the wicked advance against me to devour me," say devour, "it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall." I said that because maybe you remember a verse that says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And we can only resist him when we are in the presence of the one who is greater than him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." We do have an enemy who seeks to devour us. We have an enemy who seeks to destroy our faith, tempt us to sin, tempt us to cross the line, tempt us to doubt. He's the liar who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but we have a Savior who has come, a King who has come to bring us life and to give it in abundance. And David here says in the song, "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. The very core of who I am will not be afraid. My heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." So these were his circumstances. I mean, he was, and you know the story of King David. You know that he had those inward battles, but he was also battling real enemies. I mean, he had enemies, and sometimes those enemies were from other nations, and sometimes those enemies were former friends. Sometimes those enemies who were coming against him were family. But being in relationship with the king, though it didn't keep the enemy away, he could see victory in a different way. And you know, for us, it might even feel like the battle has intensified. Maybe before you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you don't remember battles like you're in right now. And that's because you are no longer in the enemy's camp. I mean, you've traded loyalties. You are no longer his. So since you are no longer his, and now you are King Jesus, you're a subject of his kingdom, you are going to face this ruthless enemy. You are now loyal to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will face intense battles in this life. It's been promised. Jesus himself saying, "In this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Our King has overcome the world. Our King has overcome our sin. Our King has overcome death. And even death cannot separate us. Demons cannot separate us. Your past cannot separate you. What comes tomorrow cannot separate you from his love. The height of your greatest excitement cannot separate you from the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. The depth of your deepest depression cannot separate you from the love that you find in Jesus Christ. We have this testimony from Paul saying in Romans chapter 8, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" Our answer would be a resounding
no.
Okay, I heard maybe five of you. Our answer would be a resounding
no.
Okay, much better. As it is written, he says, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So it doesn't matter what battles you face or what wars are waged against you. What only matters is you being in the presence of the King. And so no matter what I have told you or no matter of what we have spoken one-on-one or in small groups or in my time sharing with you over these past 10 years, it really comes down to this. These next few verses have been so key to my own life and I hope are key in your life as well. I so desperately want you to live in the presence of the King. My prayer is that we would be so close to him now that when he brings us home to be with him in glory, there would almost be no difference. I know there will be. But do you know this song? Before we read this next verse, I know you know this song. "One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to see you in the place your glory dwells." Sing that one more time. "One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere." Better. "Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere." That song would go on to say, "My heart and my flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit is water for my soul." And that song, that modern song, is based on a psalm. It's Psalm 84. And when it says in 84:10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell." Everybody say dwell. "Than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." Our song, Psalm 27, reads like this. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell." Everyone say dwell. "That I may dwell, that I might stay, that I might remain, that I might live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." When? All the days of my life. We don't have to wait until we're promoted to glory. We don't have to wait until we get to see him face to face in heaven. But all the days of our lives, we can actually spend in his presence to do what? To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The only thing that matters is being in the presence of the King. And we may not fully realize how much meaning it brings to our lives when we dwell, when we stay, when we abide, when we live in his presence. But his beauty and his glory is greater than anything that we could look at. His glory and his beauty are better than anything else we could ever experience. His love is greater than any human love. His love is better than any romantic relationship we could ever be in. Being in his presence makes being in the presence of anyone sweeter. It could even be the person that you just can't stand the most. It could be someone that you might call an enemy. And Jesus himself says, love your enemies. It's only possible when you stand in the presence of the King. You see, dwelling in his presence even makes being in the presence of difficulties different. You see difficulties different. You see persecutions different. You can see sickness different. It's why Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they could sing hymns all night long, right? Or it's why Stephen could still have praise on his lips while he is being stoned to death by his persecutors. It's why Job could say, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. And when we remain in the presence of the King, we too can say with David, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. How many of you would like to be set higher than your circumstances this morning? How many of you would like to be set higher than your problems this morning? How many of you would like to be set higher than those things that bring you anxiety this morning? How many of you would like to be set higher than your past, higher than your memories, higher than your sin? How many of you would like to be set higher than temptation? This is what being in the presence of our King does for us. And then David says, then my head will be exalted above all my enemies, all these enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. It's interesting. It's almost like David is saying, you know what? The only sacrifice that we need to make is a sacrifice of praise. That alone is a wonderful sacrifice. Praying to our King. Praising our King. And David will continue to say, he said, I will sing and make music. You know, we're reading Psalm 27 because David was all about this, right? You know, it wasn't just that he was singing the songs that Moses may have written, which are also in the Psalms, but it's that he made music in his heart to the Lord. You don't have to be a songwriter to make music to the Lord in your heart. All you're doing is just simply praising him with your own words. Yes, you can take great hymns of the faith. Yes, you can take new contemporary songs. Yes, you can take Psalm 27 and Psalm 23 and Psalm 139 and Psalm 150. You can take all of these and praise him through these songs. And yet, what also brings joy to this King's heart, our Father's heart, is just to hear those simple songs that we can sing to him in our hearts. Sometimes, maybe when you've listen to worship either on the radio or maybe in video form online or sometimes even live here. Sometimes we'll just have the instruments going and we encourage you, you know what, just praise him with your own words. What's your own heart saying? David says, I will sing and I will make music to the Lord. And then he asks, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. His heart, the very core of who he is saying to the rest of him, seek his face. The very core, the very center of who David is saying, you know what? Who we are deep down inside is just crying. It's longing out for this relationship where we would seek his face. And so my heart says of you, seek his face. And David responds, my heart, your face, Lord, will I seek? We're seeking what? We're seeking his face. We're not seeking his hand that he would do something for us. We're not seeking his feet that he would go somewhere with us. We are seeking his face that he would simply be near us. Your face, Lord, will I seek. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You know, when you're in close relationship with someone, you can, you know, you can get close and you can talk and you can be eye to eye, right? And now I'm going to be closer with Michelle and be eye to eye than I would be with Adam because that'd be a little weird, right? But God is, he wants us, and from the very core of who we are, he's drawing us into this relationship where we seek his face, eye to eye contact and closeness. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother have forsaken me, Lord, the Lord will never forsake me. He will do what? He will receive me. If there are times when I've given invitations and maybe even had invitations given at camp or given in church where you're invited to receive Jesus. Here God is saying, I receive you, and I'm receiving you based on the sacrifice of my Son, Jesus Christ. We are being received into relationship with him. And then he goes on to say, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. Do you remember what Satan is also called? Deceiver. Accuser. He's called the accuser. Let's read Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 together. Revelation 12, 10. You want to bring that slide up? Thank you. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. This is his main job, is to accuse us. And so if there's something that you know that you've been forgiven of, you've confessed it to him, we have the promise that when you confess your sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have this promise that those who are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop beating yourself up over your past because of something that Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. Your past, your sin is done away with. Yes, go to him in repentance and confess those sins to him. But once it's done, stop beating yourself up over it. In the presence of your King, you'll find love, you'll find forgiveness, and you'll find power to overcome the accuser and his accusations. And David will finish off saying, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is before David is promoted to glory. He knows and he is confident that he will see the goodness of the Lord while he is still alive. And he tells us to do this. One of the great applications of this passage is to do this. If you're having a hard time being confident that of seeing the Lord's goodness in your time, wait for him. Wait for it. Wait for his presence. And do as that last song we sung invites. Inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill this atmosphere. Your glory is what our heart longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Father, that would be my prayer for any of us. I pray, Father God, that day by day, even as Sierra encouraged this morning, that we wouldn't get our spiritual workout once a month, but that it would be a daily. A relationship with you is a daily occurrence. Give us this day our daily bread. Take up your cross daily and follow him. We love you so much, Father. And it's only because of how much you have loved us. We're so grateful for your sacrifice. We're so grateful for your love. It's in Jesus' awesome name we pray. Amen.